So the wine has run out. Never a good thing to hear when you're at a wedding celebration, or really any celebration. In Jesus' day, the water was not safe to drink, and so it wasn't about getting drunk. This is not about a college rager here. It's like saying, we don't have enough cake. We have run out of hot dogs. There are no more chips for the guacamole. Now there are only carrots, right? You fill in the blank of the party food or drink of your choice. The party's gonna end too soon because there isn't enough to go around. And indeed, this is a sad thing, especially in this context. Wedding celebrations were meant to be shared. They were meant to last a whole week. One commentary shared that the way that John writes this story, this is not a nod to poor planning skills, poor party planning skills. This is a nod to the lack of resources that most people had. Under the patron-client system, most families did not have much to spare. They were day laborers scraping by. And so a wedding feast was an opportunity to let go of their burdens, let down their hair, yeah? Embrace community, connect with their wider family and neighbors, ease their worries, maybe even dance a little, feast a little. And now the prospect of a relaxing party has been cut short, for the wine was gone. And this was devastating for the family, the bride and the groom, those attending the party, the guests. It was now time to go back to reality, living under Roman oppression. It's back to being an occupied people. Perhaps you too feel like the wine has run out. It's impossible to keep all the plates spinning. It is gray and cold and slippery outside. The headlines continue to be looming and feel terrible. Even here at church, in that Holy Cow survey last year, we admitted there is a low energy here. We love our church, we love each other, but we're missing that spark. I think we're still a little sad from the pandemic. We're missing that zing, that thing that keeps the party going, that keeps it fun. And so the wine has run out. Mary points out to her son, Jesus, and she tells him, seize the moment. And he says, no thanks. But Mary, his mom, who always knows best, right? The singer of the Magnificat knows that this is a chance to lift up the lowly, to fill the hungry with good things. Well, good wine. So she doesn't take no for an answer. And yet she doesn't drag Jesus to the center of the dance floor. She does not make this a big spectacle. She just pulls aside the lowliest servants who are in the back, behind the scenes. She pulls them into the magic and says, do whatever he tells you. And so Jesus goes, okay. And his choice of a vessel is super interesting, for these water jars are about as big as me, and these were used for purification rites, like washing your hands before you eat. Turning this water into wine is a way for Jesus, following the ancient prophets, to emphasize joy and abundant life, as opposed to over-focusing on purity, which is a common religious temptation, even of us now. We all have our thing that we've turned into more than a thing. Purification, washing your hands in itself is not a bad thing. But the point of it all is abundant, joyful life. The Salt Collective points out that these 25-gallon jars of fine wine are a sacramental glimpse into what Jesus later puts in this way, I came that they may have life abundantly. Yeah, and just for a visual, yeah, we don't go through 25 gallons of milk in the Valenti household, but here's one. So 25 of these times 6, I would have had to lug a lot of jugs. 150 gallons of wine. 150. This is Jesus' first sign. His entrance as a Messiah in the Gospel of John is all about abundance, joy, extending the party, which feels kind of silly and frivolous, right? Until we remember what we are created for. Goodness. Abundant life. Flourishing for us and all of creation. We, dear ones, are created to party. And I'm not talking about drunken oblivion here. We are created to party with joy. As the poet Wendell Berry puts it, this is what practicing resurrection looks like, to let go and celebrate, even though we know all the facts. Actually, Wendell, I think I would tweak it slightly, because it's because we know all the facts. We know life is short and can change at a moment's notice, that we actually have such little control over any of it. In the midst of raging wildfires and awful endless wars and stupid poverty and too short of time, not just some, but all of us were created for joy. In the midst of all this snow and ice that we've had, it feels like Minnesota here. And I thought we moved to Northern Virginia, but you know. The Valentis have brought back a tradition that we did in Minnesota. We had this tiny little bungalow in northeast Minneapolis, and on these dark, snowy nights that would last for like 4 months, maybe more like 6 months, we realized that we all needed to burn off some of this energy. We had this like pent-up energy in of us because it was too cold to be outside. And so we had this little lamp in our living room, and it had a Crayola bulb in it, yeah? And it came with a remote. And on this remote, one of the buttons said, party. And when we pushed it, this rainbow of lights would come, yeah? So one small lamp is all it took. And then we would add some music, mostly the Wiggles, and we would let the party commence. And it would flash this rainbow of lights, and we would dance around. And for the 20 minutes before Theo's bedtime, it was this contagious joy dance fest. And it was silly, and sometimes one of us would stub a toe, but it was totally worth it. In the midst of these snowy, cold days that we've had here, we brought the tradition back, though I can't find the remote for the light, which is a bit of a bummer. But Phoebe got a green sparkly tutu from Grammy for Christmas. And so she grabs it and she says, dance party. And we say, yeah. Dear ones, we are invited to be embraced by joy. Alice Walker wrote that joy is resistance. It says stubborn determination where despair and suffering does not get the final word. It helps us remember that these things are not the whole of our lived experience. And joy helps inspire us to dream and work for a better present and future, where despair and suffering are no longer our neighbor's whole experience either. Joy fuels us for the work of being God's people. It helps us fulfill those baptismal promises to work for justice and peace and care for the world that God has made. Joy reminds us that we belong to each other. And this is why we are here, to embrace our whole selves, even though our dance moves may be a little goofy, to embrace our neighbors. By doing these things, we remember how much God loves us and dances and celebrates with us. Now, I know that dancing isn't everyone's thing, I know. But I wonder, what helps you party? What does partying look like for you? What do you get excited about? And what excites you about being here at Faith Lutheran? How can we work together to extend this party for those who aren't here yet? Because the party won't be complete until everyone's here. This is what our strategic planning work is going to look like next weekend. I know you hear the word strategic planning and you go, But it's all about describing God's party. And so I invite you to think about this with us. There are three different times where you can come and talk to us about what excites you about Faith Lutheran and where you see God taking us. And if those three times don't work for you, we're going to have food and all of these things. It's going to be kind of like a party. And if you can't make next weekend work, there's going to be a Zoom option too, because we really want to know. We want to know what you're thinking about. But in the meantime, dear ones, may you remember that you were created to experience joy. And so take a deep breath. Let go of all your reservations and worries and to-do lists. And just let God's party come to you. For you have a standing invitation at God's banquet. No gifts are required, just your presence is present enough. Dear ones, indeed it is safe to dance here. Tutus are optional. Amen. Thanks be to God.